Well, welcome back to our series called The Gospel Truth. Know it, share it, and then I think we're going to have a few other ones, live it, and like I said last week, know it and share it and live it and share it some more. So we may have a few more messages in this series, but we're talking about the gospel. And last week, we talked about knowing the gospel. It's a good place to start, right? It's hard to share something if you don't know it. But I want to say this again, that if you are born again in Christ Jesus, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you know the gospel. Because there's really no way to be saved in Christ without knowing the gospel. And so there's not one specific way that you got to say it exactly. But we talked last week looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you ever need a cheat sheet, the Bible's a good cheat sheet for knowing what to say and knowing what truth is. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 through 6, as a reminder, as you're going out in the world every single day, there's the gospel. Today we're going to focus on sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. I'm going to start with a quote from a pastor, preacher, theologian from up north, Canada, old school guy named A.B. Simpson, and from Canada. Anyway, speaking of Canada, I talked about a little bit, maybe a couple weeks ago, about Artur Pawlowski, you know, the pastor up in Canada, and he's been arrested several times because he's having illegal church gatherings, meaning he was gathering when the government told him not to gather. That's an illegal church gathering as far as the government's concerned. When you gather, even though the government Almighty tells you not to gather. So anyway, now he's being told, he's been released, and he's being told that you can meet and you can share, but when you, now check this out, this is a Canadian government. When you share, you have to include statements about COVID-19 and the vaccines whenever you're standing in front of your congregation. You got to share that it's scientifically proven, all this kind of stuff, and I'm not going to get in the whole COVID vaccine thing or not. The point is, this pastor from a supposed democratic government just to our north is being told he has to participate in government propaganda. That's crazy. Anyway, it can never happen here, though, right? Never. Never could happen here. I'm just saying we need to take advantage of the voice that we have right now. Okay? And don't be afraid, and we don't have to look for the boogeyman around every corner, and everybody in government isn't bad, and all of that kind of stuff. But there's some serious stuff going on in the world around us right now, even to our little brother neighbor to the north, Canada. So, Lord, we just lift up this pastor, Pastor Artur, Lord God, that you would continue to give him strength and boldness. Give him wisdom, Lord, to know what to speak, when to speak, God. I pray a blessing on his congregation even right now, that you would take what the enemy means for evil and you would turn it for good, for the advancement of the gospel, for the advancement of the kingdom, for the benefit of the body of Christ in that nation. So back to A.B. Simpson, that other old school Canadian preacher and theologian. He says this. He said that the Christian that is bound by his own horizon, the church that lives simply for itself, is bound to die a spiritual death and sink into stagnancy and corruption. We never can thank God enough for giving us not only a whole gospel to believe, but a whole world to give it to. We have a whole gospel to believe and a whole world to give it to. And it remains true today, not just back in the day when Pastor Simpson preached this and spoke this. We have a whole world that needs to hear this amazing, life-transforming, pull you out of darkness, disconnect you from the chains of oppression and sin and darkness. We have a whole world that needs to hear this good news, the good news that we've received that's changed us, that's made us new. So, do you want to share the gospel? Yes. All right, I'm going to ask that again because there were just about 4 mouths that opened up and said yes. And so I know that I'm at Heaven Life Church, right? Yes. All right, okay, I want to make sure. All right, so do you want to share the gospel?
Yes.
All right, all right. So if so, I want to ask you to do something only if you're comfortable. If you're willing to do this with me, let's pray a very simple prayer together as it relates to us praying the gospel. I want to put it up on the screen here. And if you're willing, and this is where you are, I'm going to give you just a moment to read it here. Let's pray this together as it relates to us being the church and sharing the gospel. Together, let's say, Lord, open a door, open my mouth, and open their heart. Amen? Amen. I think y'all want to say it again, don't you? Let's say it again, now that we know what we're saying. Lord, open a door, open my mouth, and open their hearts. It's a simple prayer. Really is. I mean, I found that prayer this week, and I'm like, I love it. I'm going to adopt that for one of my morning prayers before I go out in the big bad world, as they say, right? I just think it's beautiful. And here's the deal. It's a simple prayer, but I want to say this. It's a risky prayer. It's a risky prayer because God, I believe, will answer this prayer. This is the kind of prayer that God answers. Why? Because God will answer prayers that are prayed in accordance with his will. It says in Scripture, 1 Timothy 2:3-4, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Does God want doors open so that we can open our mouth and people's lives can be transformed in Christ Jesus? Does he? Absolutely yes. So is this the kind of prayer that God wants his church praying? I believe yes. And Scripture says, 1 John 5:14, that if we ask anything according to God's will, that he hears us. This is his will. That we would walk through open doors to open up our mouths to share the gospel and see lives transformed, brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is the will of God. It's the will of God. So if we're ready, willing, and available to share the gospel, God will open a door. So I just want to be clear about this with everybody here today. If you are ready, willing, and available to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, salvation found in Christ alone, if you're willing to do that, God will open a door. He will open a door. God will open up our mouths too. What do I mean by that? He'll give us the words to speak. If we're walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh, he will give us the words to speak, the words of life, the words that he has spoken. God will also open up their hearts. If we're ready, willing, and available to share the good news of Jesus with others, God will open up their hearts. Because if not by the grace of God, I mean, how can we respond in our sin? It's a move of the Holy Spirit. This whole thing is supernatural and grace-filled. It's all God moving in and through our lives. God will open their hearts. People will be saved from death to life. So again, if you're willing, if you're brave enough now, knowing that if you pray this prayer, I believe God's going to answer it. I really do. So if you're ready, willing, and available, and you want to join me on this, let's pray this one more time. Let's put it up on the screen again. Let's say, Lord, open a door, open my mouth, and open their hearts. Amen. So is sharing the gospel important to Jesus? Amen. Does he have a concern about that? Is that kind of on his radar a little bit? Absolutely. Absolutely. Point number one, sharing the gospel is important to Jesus. Sharing the gospel is important to Jesus. In fact, the first and the last commands to his disciples were all about sharing the good news, all about sharing the gospel with others. He started it all out and he finished it all out with that call for his disciples, his followers, to share the good news with others. Started with this in Matthew 4:19. When Jesus saw Andrew and Peter casting a net into the lake, Speaking of Lake Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, it has several names, also called Lake Tiberias, is all these names. I've been there. That's the only reason I know, because, you know, I don't always remember everything I read. But when I go there and I get to touch it and smell it and feel it and, you know, all of that, skip a rock in it, you know, then I know that is Lake Gennesaret, Lake Tiberias. That is the Sea of Galilee. Anyway, I was there, and he's speaking right now. Jesus and Andrew and Peter, they're in a town called Capernaum, right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee of Lake Gennesaret. And I've been there. I want to show you a picture. This is me there. Can you bring that up? There it is, right there. So that's me. I'm actually preaching a very similar message to this about Jesus calling his disciples right there at Capernaum. And the people listening there, the people with me in this group, I want to let you know, they are not a group of Christians on a Christian tour of Israel. This is the Arizona Legislature trade delegation to Israel that I was part of. And I'm sharing with them what occurred and what happened in this very place. Jesus calling his disciples to drop everything and come follow him and find new life in him. So that's where all this is taking place. It's right there. Isn't that beautiful? The sea in the background. Oh, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So when Jesus saw Andrew, you can take that picture down. Thanks. When Jesus saw Andrew and Peter casting a net into the lake, he told them, come follow me. Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Yes. Come follow me, and I'm going to send you out to share the good news, to bring people out of darkness into the light. That's how he started it. And then you fast forward all the way to the end, just before he ascends to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. After the resurrection, Jesus gave the disciples this command. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because Jesus has all authority, he's telling his followers who are in him, alive in him, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it goes on, teaching them to believe all that I have commanded. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. The Gospel of Mark puts the Great Commission this way. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Come follow me and let's go fish for people. Come follow me and let's go give them the good news of the gospel and bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Fully alive in me. Go into all the world. Share the gospel with all creation. I think that the gospel and the church sharing the gospel is pretty important to Jesus. Maybe Jesus is so concerned with the gospel because he had a little something, you know, on the line here as it comes to the gospel. He had a little bit of involvement in the gospel, if you will. He's the one who made the good news possible. Amen? I mean, after all, it was Jesus, the Son of God, who went to the cross. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He, Jesus, took upon himself, the sinless one, the Son of God, the one without any sin, any fault, took upon himself the sins of the world, all the sins, your sins, my sins, of all creation. He took upon himself. I think Jesus is concerned about the gospel. He put it all on the line. It was Jesus, the sinless one, who was beaten and died for our sins. He died for our sins. I think the gospel is important to Jesus. It was Jesus who made a way for all to be saved through him. Jesus is concerned with the gospel, and he's concerned that others would know this good news and know him. And I can imagine that Jesus doesn't want to just one drop of his blood to be spilled in vain. Not one drop. He wants all to hear of his great sacrificial love Jesus wants everyone to receive the gift of salvation. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about an unwillingness to share the good news with others. Understanding what Christ has done, understanding his willingness to do the will of the Father, yet not my will, but yours be done. If it's possible, take this cup from me, but it's not about me. It's about your will, Father, being done. And then I think about our unwillingness then sometimes just to even share, just to even verbalize, just to even come along somebody who's hurting that we know is going to hell and is going to have an eternal damnation, and yet we hesitate and we have this unwillingness to share this good news with others. And I want to be just straight up about it right now. I mean, let's not tiptoe around things. I think that an unwillingness to share this good news with others is an indication of, number one, being disconnected from the gospel. An unwillingness to share the gospel with others is an indication, I believe, of being disconnected from the love of God. I believe it's an indication of being disconnected from Jesus. I'll just be straight up about it. An unwillingness to share this good news with people that Jesus went to the cross and spilled his blood for, took upon the sins of their sins. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile." So Jesus is very concerned about his church sharing the gospel. He wants us to, he expects us to. And it's our joy to do it. That's my prayer, that it's our joy to do that. Point number two, sharing the gospel is necessary. Sharing the gospel is necessary. People should definitely see the gospel at work in our lives just by watching how we live. I'm going to talk about that, I think, a little bit next week, about living the gospel, right? So people should see the gospel just because they're around us. I was talking to a couple people in the lobby before church, some of those who are volunteering to greet and do different things here at the church, which I encourage everyone to serve in some capacity, serve alongside, be part of. That's part of being the family. You do the dishes from time to time, you know what I mean? My daughter's home for the weekend from college. Hi, Faith, we love you. And what did she do last night? She was there helping with the dishes because she's family, right? That's what we do. Anyway, so I was in the lobby, and a couple guys were sharing, yeah, man, people at work, they just look at me and think I'm kind of weird because I'm happy. I'm happy. I have a smile on my face, and when everybody else is complaining, I'm just kind of going about my life and my work, and I'm happy, and they just kind of look at me, and they wonder. And that's the gospel that is pouring out of them just by living, by breathing, by being present in the room. They're living the gospel. It's evident just in how they process life and do life. But God has called us not just to show the gospel with our actions, but actually to share the gospel with our mouths also. I need to share it as well as show it. It's a both and, right? I need to share it and show it. Amen. Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Telling them, talking, sharing with them. How can they hear this good news unless somebody shares it with them? Sharing the gospel means telling people the gospel. It's really that simple. Sharing the gospel means telling people the gospel. I like to share good news. I don't know if y'all remember last year. Actually, it was this year because there are 2021 champs, the Baylor Bears, you know, NCAA, you know, Division I. You basketball champs of the world, you know what I'm saying? Sikkim Bears, come on now, right? and they also beat the Mormons. They beat BYU yesterday in football. They took them down hard. Yeah, I celebrate those things. I celebrate victories, and I share it with others, man. I even wear shirts that say Baylor Bears on it, and they win, and I'm like, that's a good day for a Baylor shirt. You know what I'm saying? A good day for a Baylor shirt. I should have worn one today, actually. So when we have good news, something that we're excited about, we share it with others. I mean, you know, when you're in school, right, and you get a good grade, you're coming home and you're sharing the good news with your parents because finally there's some good news, right? So you're sharing the good news. I got an A. Can you believe it? Amen. Woo! Right? When you get a promotion, something goes right, you close the big deal at work, you share it with others. You celebrate it with others. That's just what you do. When you have good news, you open up your mouth and you let others in on what's exciting you. That's how we're wired. I was reminded, and I don't really know, I think this was a joke that somebody's told at one point. I'm going to try it. I'm not the best joke teller, but I'm just too serious, you know what I mean? I'm studying all the time. I just have my head's deep in the book. Anyway, but so speaking of telling people stuff, so there's this Norwegian. I can talk about Norwegians because I'm one quarter Norwegian, all right? So it could be, you know, whatever. So this Norwegian guy, right, and his wife is complaining, you know, like, hey, you know what? He never tells me that he loves me. He never tells me. He never tells me. The husband's like, what are you talking about, honey? I told you 30 years ago when we got married that I loved you. You know, and that's the joke, actually. That's it. Then we got to tell people. We got to talk to people. We got to tell them. We got to tell our wives. Men, tell your wife that you love her. Don't be like I told her, you know, a year ago, or I tell her every year on her anniversary, and I give her flowers and chocolates, and I say, honey, I love you. No, you got to talk, and you got to share what's in your heart and let them know you love them. And church, we got to tell the world the good news of the gospel, that God so loves them. Even in their sin and their brokenness and their dysfunction, he so loves them that he sent his only son to step down from his place of royalty and purity and to come to this broken, messed up world and to go to the cross and take upon himself our sins, your sins, because he loves us. We need to tell the world that. The world needs to hear this good news. Not just, well, you know what? I shared the gospel 20 years ago with somebody and I didn't see anything really happen in their lives. That's going to happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen. But we got to tell the world. Let's go to point number 3. Sharing the gospel is necessary, but we got to also be aware that sharing the gospel requires help. How many of you can say amen to that now? You're feeling a little bit of pressure. You're like, okay, pastor, you're putting the pressure on me. You're like saying, I got to get out there and do this thing. I'm a little stressed out about it. I don't always know what to say. I don't know how it's going to come out. How are they going to take me? Am I going to be one of those kind of guys or gals? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, whatever. You're already a peculiar person. The Bible has already said you're crazy compared to the world, right? And so just get over that and be okay with that. But sharing the gospel requires help. I need help. You need help. Even somebody as amazing as the Apostle Peter needed help to have the courage, the guts, the oomph, and then the words to share the gospel effectively with others. So you could go out and you could take this charge that God has for us and this desire that God has for you to share the gospel, and you could go, okay, I'm going to figure it out in my own strength and I'm going to do it in my own strength. And you may get a little ways down the road with that, but I guarantee you, the person next to you who's looking to do it in the strength of God is going to blow right by you. Amen. And is going to see all kinds of fruit happening. Yep. So I always choose, God, I want to do this in your strength. Amen. And not just this, but anything in life. Amen. God, I want to do this in your strength. Yes. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. For what? Power for what? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why is the Holy Spirit coming and baptizing his church? What's the primary purpose for the Holy Spirit coming and baptizing his church? To receive power that we need, because we don't have the power to change the world or to save a single person in and of ourselves, but he has come to baptize us, to empower us to be witnesses of Jesus in our world, and that in that pushes back darkness and brings the light of Christ Jesus. It transforms generations and it glorifies God. Okay, so he comes, gives us power through the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. So what empowers the believer, you and me, to be a witness and to share the gospel? The Holy Spirit. I pray that that's what it is. And if that's you've never experienced that and you've always just tried to share the gospel out of your own strength or because you memorized the Romans Road or something like that, and you're just going to, oh, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? You're going to psych yourself up and just do it in your own strength. I encourage you, there's more. You don't have to do it that way. You can do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. The power of God that comes on us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what empowers us. I mentioned Peter. Peter, when Jesus was being taken by the Romans, scourged and then hung on a cross, where was Peter? The rock. Where was he? He was cowering. He was denying Jesus. He was doing the exact opposite of sharing the gospel. Instead of pointing to Jesus and saying, he is the one I follow and he's who this whole world needs. He's the savior of the world. Turn your attention. He's right there in front of you. Reach out to him. He said, I'm not really associated with him. I don't know. He was doing like the exact opposite of sharing the gospel. All of a sudden, Peter's up in the upper room with all the other believers after Jesus has ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. He's doing what Jesus told him to do. He's gathered with the saints. He's in the upper room. 10 days of prayer. 10 days of prayer. Sometimes we're like, why doesn't God move? Man, I went to that prayer meeting 3 months ago and I just didn't see God moving in any spectacular way, so God must not be moving. Okay. All right. 10 days in prayer. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came and baptized the church. There were 120 people. But Jesus saw 500 after he rose from the dead. Where were the others? I don't know where the others were, but they missed it. They missed it. They were watching the Cardinals game, maybe. I don't know what they were doing, but they missed it. I'm just saying. I'm going to take this opportunity right now. Not in my notes at all or anything. One on my mind. But I'm just saying, if you feel like you're missing it, come. The more we gather together, the more faithful we are to our gatherings, the more time we spend together in the presence of God, in the place of prayer, just together, gathering, coming in the name of Jesus. Read the New Testament, read the book of Acts. Almost every amazing big move of God happened when the believers were together. Anyway, so they were all together, the Holy Spirit coming. So what does Peter do, though, after getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? Tongues of fire coming, you know, the Holy Spirit blowing the windows out of the place and all that. By the way, also with that same group, the Arizona Legislative Group, also got to share about the upper room when we went to the place where they think was the upper room in Jerusalem. I got to do a little tour with them and lead them on a little bit of tour. Awesome opportunities. Awesome opportunities. Hey, pray that. Open a door. Right? I mean, God will open a door if we're willing to open up our mouths, and he will move on their hearts and open their hearts. Anyway, so Peter gets down. He preaches now. A little differently, not timidly, not shying away from Jesus, but he boldly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire community, and 3,000 people were saved and got baptized that day. How did that happen? Did Peter just decide to do things differently? No, the power of God came upon this man and empowered him to be a bold witness for Jesus. And the result was 3,000. That's incredible. I'm ready for that to happen here in downtown Gilbert. I really am. Then Paul, when talking about being how he brought and how he taught the gospel when he would go to different communities and preach. So Paul would go around. He had his missionary journeys, and he'd go around. He'd bring the gospel and plant churches and encourage the body of Christ in all these different places. So he'd walk into a community and he'd preach the gospel. It's a good place to start. Right? Very, very good place to start. It's the whole Bible anyway. And this is how Paul said he did. He said, my message, this is in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. This is probably the greatest theologian. The Lord used him to write some of the deepest theological New Testament, New Covenant truth that we have. This is a studied, like, he was on track before getting thrown off that horse. He was on track to, like, be the next chief priest, you know, of Israel and everything. This guy was smart. He was brilliant. If anybody knew stuff, this guy knew stuff. But he's saying, it's not the stuff that I knew. It's not the smarts. It's not my preaching or my persuasive words, but it's the demonstration of the power of God, the Spirit's power, that's how I preached the gospel. That's how I brought the gospel when I was out in the world. So sharing the gospel isn't simply a logical argument or a factual exchange. Although there is logic, the gospel is very logical. I'm just going to go through it again, right? We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve hell. That's pretty logical, right? Can we all agree on that? Amen. All right, I hope so. We need a Savior because we can't save ourselves. There's not enough good you can do to make up for the evil and the sin and just the dirt that's been on you from the day you were born. There's just not enough you can do. We need somebody to save us, to rescue us. God sent his only Son, the Messiah, Jesus, to take upon himself our sins, to be the substitute for us. And on the cross, that's what happened. The third day he was raised from the dead because God has victory over sin and death. A demonstration of the power of God, a demonstration of the power of the gospel right there. And all who believe in Christ and live not as your own God anymore, but Jesus as your Lord. Believing, confessing, following, repenting, new life in him. Salvation. What we didn't deserve, what we didn't earn, is ours. That's pretty logical. That's pretty factual. It's extremely factual. But it's not just logic and facts. It's not the only way that we share the gospel. The gospel ultimately is a spiritual encounter with the truth, capital T, his name is Jesus, and the power of God that saves our souls. It's a supernatural, it's all supernatural. It's all the work of God. Anything that's not of us is of God is supernatural. It's factual, it's logical, and it's supernatural. And I encourage you, as we're sharing the gospel with others, that we do not exclude the supernatural. We do not exclude the move of the Holy Spirit in that moment to do what God wants to do. In fact, I want to ask you, has the Holy Spirit come upon you in this way?
Yes.
As he did Paul and Peter. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is there evidence of God's power in and through your life? Are you living in that and through that on a daily basis? Today after the service, we have our Baptism of the Holy Spirit workshop available. For anybody at any stage, age, whatever it is, in your walk with the Lord, and you just have a desire to press in deeper and to understand and just take steps. It's not just about knowing. It's a workshop. It's about engaging with the Holy Spirit together as the body of Christ. If you have a desire to step further into that, I encourage you to go to that after the service. I will tell you, it's not just like an add-on to the Christian walk. We need to be Spirit-filled people. We need it. We can't do this in our own strength. So Jesus also used this approach. Matthew 9:6, Jesus said, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So Jesus said, look, so you understand that I can actually do this supernatural thing and forgive the sins of man? He said to a paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Get up, walk, take your mat, and go home. Jesus would do miracles. The power of God would be on display as Jesus was sharing the good news, as he would share the gospel. And I'm not saying that there's miracles and that there's the lame walking every time we're out on the street sharing the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, are we open to God moving however he wants to move and using whatever he wants to use in order to bring into his family somebody that our Lord and Savior Jesus spilled his blood for? Are we walking in the Spirit in that way? Are we walking in that kind of faith and obedience and humility before the Lord to allow God to be God? If we are, there's so much freedom in that. There's excitement and sometimes there's weirdness. But that's okay. That's okay. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And then remember what happens as a result of the gospel in people's lives. Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. This is in Mark 16. And then verse 16 says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has not believed shall be condemned. And then it goes on to say, these signs will accompany those who believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents and they will drink any deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So to me, that's just once again a picture that when we come into the kingdom of God, and when we are born again in Christ Jesus, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, life just looks differently. I mean, just read those passages of Scripture. Life just looks differently, and God follows us and goes before us, and God is supernatural, and he's other than, and so other than and supernatural things are going to be around us. Y'all comfortable with that? All right, I got some of you, yep. Others are like, I want it. It's a little freaky, it's a little scary. Amazing. But it's God at work. So we need the power of God that comes on us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we can powerfully, effectively, boldly share the gospel with a broken and hurting world. We don't want to go on the battlefield with all the weapons that God has given us. You don't have to go out there with your bare hands and try to just slug it out, you know, on the battlefield. You don't have to do that. The Lord has given us weapons and he's given us the right things, the right tools to use to accomplish the purposes and the callings that he has on us as the church. Trust him. Receive what he has for you. Trust him. Receive what he has for you. Use them. Take them with you. Final point, point number four. This is a long, long point. Look at how long that is. Sharing the gospel requires us to be who we are, say what we know, and give what we have. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of sharing the gospel with the lost because we make it into this, it's got to be perfect. I got to say these exact things. And if I don't say it exactly this way, I'm going to blow it. And somebody's going to be, you know, eternally damned because I missed a word or a phrase or I didn't say it with the right accent. I don't know, whatever it might be, right? And so we get all worried about everything and we freeze up like a deer in the headlights and nothing happens and the lost continue to be lost, not hearing the good news of Jesus. And I just want to say, church, we can loosen up. And we can trust God. We can trust if we are born again in Christ Jesus that we have the Spirit of the living God in us. We can trust that if we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit that he is with us. He's gone before us. We can trust God in all things. I sent my kids off to college. I sent Faith off to college. I trust God in that. Is it hard? Yes. But do I trust God? Yes. Do we trust God with sharing the gospel with others? We can just go be who we are. If you are born again in Christ Jesus, if you're a new creation, if you have been made new, just go be that shining city on a hill in the world that you live in. Be who you are. And as you be who you are, you're going to say what you know. It's just going to come out of you. What you know, what truth is, how to process life, how to deal with things. The answer almost every time is Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus. You're talking with a neighbor. Their life is falling apart. Their marriage is falling apart. Do they need some kind of marital tips and tricks from you? Probably not, because you probably got your own little issues, right? But what they do need is Jesus. They need Jesus. They need new life in him. They need new hearts. They need Jesus. So share that. The Holy Spirit will give you a way to do that without being a complete weirdo. I mean, you know, he'll give you the way to do it. You've probably already got a relationship of some sort with them. Just talk. Just be a person, right? Be genuine. Be real. Share from the heart. Share who you know. Jesus. Share what he's done. Just be who you are. Say what you know and give what you have. Church, we have the gift of salvation. Let's share that and give that with others. Let's be those fishers of men. On Friday night, I was asked to share at the annual Ascend Gala. I was there with some elected officials, with Mayor Peterson, our mayor here in Gilbert, Mayor Hartke of Chandler. I threw a couple pictures up, but we don't want to keep them up too long. Just because, anyway, I don't want. But anyway, I got to share at this gala. And maybe 200 people maximum there from the community. But there are business leaders, there are government leaders, education leaders, different leaders in the community that were there. And, of course, our amazing Sean and Peggy Donaldson were there sitting at the table with us, too, as our outreach ministers. That's Mayor Peterson on my right, on the left there. And on my left is Mayor Hartke. Both dear friends, wonderful people. So I'm at this thing, and I'm like, okay, open a door. I think a door was just opened. They gave me nearly a third of the stage time of anybody speaking at that event. Nice. Now, they asked me to do a lot of things I really didn't want to do because I had to prepare for it, and sometimes I just like going in and just be who I am, say what I know, and give what I have, if you know what I'm saying, just kind of like, shoot from the hip, wing it, just be Eric and bring Jesus, right? And all that. But so I had to do some of those types of things. But I'm going to tell you what, I had an opportunity to say what I know. Amen. And so here's how I did it, just to let you know. So here's first of all, they give me the microphone to do an invocation to open the whole thing up in prayer and to pray for the food. Well, I'm like, this is an amazing time to share the gospel in the place of prayer, right? This isn't some kind of revival meeting, but I can share the gospel. I can pray the gospel. I can declare the gospel and who Christ is and our need for him in my prayer. And so I did that, and then I thanked God for the food and the time together and that we would make new relationships here. And I'm praying that their main relationship would be a new relationship with Jesus, right? I didn't say it that way, but that was, you know, touch their heart, right? Right? Open their hearts, God. So I did that, and then when I get into the time to be able to share, and I'm supposed to talk about the other stuff and raise money for Ascend, which we raised, we went over what they were asking for, praise God for that. And Ascend is the organization that runs the iHelp ministry, which is the homeless ministry that we're part of here at Evident Life Church. So if you're a guest and you come here and you turn in your connection card, we contribute $20 in your name on your behalf to Ascend for the homeless ministry here in Chandler and Gilbert. So but then I had an opportunity. They had a script for me, but I couldn't stay on the script because I'm Eric, and my wife knows I can't stay on the script. But I got to share. I just started going off, and I shared the scripture. I shared the words of Jesus. He's telling the story of the Good Samaritan. A door was opened. I wanted to step through it. I wanted to say what I know and give what I have. And every one of us can do this every day. Mike, would you come up here? Every one of us can do this every day. This is Mike Dodson. Would you welcome Mike Dodson, our brother, here to the stage? So, Mike is just like any of us, all right? He's just a guy who has been saved by grace, by the work of Jesus. He's just a guy who is doing life and making his way. But he's also a guy that is sharing the gospel with others. And so, Mike, tell me a little bit about what your week looks like as it relates to sharing the gospel. I mean, I don't want to know what you ate for breakfast. I don't need that stuff.
Gotcha.
All right.
First of all, I retired a couple years ago, and I got bored about 3-4 months into it, and started driving for a company that does medical transportation ride shares with a company. And come to find out, they do 14,000 trips a day, 6 days a week. And 87% of them go to like recovery centers for the clients that I take to these medical appointments. And with that, there's a lot of conversation about how did your day go? Or how's been your day? And, oh, my gosh, that opens up a whole plethora of conversation. And when I insert the most famous name in the world of Jesus into that conversation, or have Air One playing, and it's a worship song that talks about Jesus, oh my gosh, people light up. And it just opens up a whole world to them, and a thought process of praising the name of Jesus. And it's just, it's not unbelievable to me now. It's just amazing.
And this happens like almost every day. You're
every
in the
day,
car with
every client almost.
You're talking about Jesus. You're bringing up the name of Jesus.
Every single conversation we have.
Yeah, because each one of those are an open door.
They're an open door. It's amazing how it works and how you don't have to be afraid of talking about him.
Is there, I'm just curious, we haven't talked about this kind of detail, but is there a policy in your company that you're not supposed to do that kind
of
stuff or whatever?
So you're saying
that you're breaking the rules.
There's a policy that you don't talk about politics or religion,
but
you know how that goes.
But there's a higher policy, isn't there?
Amen.
Somewhere
to
that says that we are to share the gospel.
Amen.
With the lost.
Amen.
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 Well, thank you, brother.
It works.
Thanks for being who you are, saying what you know, giving what you have. So again, Mike's just like any of us, and he's just taking the open doors that God has given him, and he's allowing the Lord to open up his mouth. And we just believe that God is opening hearts and moving in their lives. That pressure is not on us. God causes the growth. God does the transformation. He brings the salvation. But we share the good news. We share the gospel. It's just what we do. It's just who we are. So I want to ask you, even be thinking about this right now. I mean, you can even just, if you want to close your eyes right now, just to think about this. What door has God opened for you? Are there relationships that God has you in? Are there people that you come in contact with on a regular basis? Maybe you haven't had the eyes or the vision that these are actually doors that God is opening for you to be who you are, say what you know, give what you have, to bring the gospel. I want to just ask that you would just allow the Holy Spirit, even right now, to give you different vision and perspective on those open doors, what they really are. And I want to ask you to be praying, maybe even every morning when you wake up, pray that prayer. In fact, let's pray it again together. Open a door, open my mouth, and open their heart. Let's do that again with a little more unity here on that. Ready? Lord, open a door, open my mouth, and open their hearts. I want to challenge you this week. In fact, if you'd stand up as we're about to close. I want to challenge you this week to take that step of faith and obedience this week. And I know this can seem scary, and in some ways I was wrestling. Do I throw this out there to the church? But I believe I have to. Because I believe God has already thrown it out there to us to pick up and to grab hold of and to do. I want to ask that each person here in this congregation, in the room, online, each follower of Jesus, that this week that you would trust God and walk through one of those doors, and that you would share the gospel with at least one person this week. You don't have to get all the words exactly right. But people need Jesus. They need what and who you have.
Yes.
Go share that with them. This is the other thing I really want to see happen at Evident Life Church. We were talking about this in our staff planning and vision week this week. Said Evident Life Church is going to be a church. We are a church. I'm just speaking it right now as though it were so. And in some ways it is, but I'm believing this will become the new DNA. This will be part of the fiber, one of the very evident fibers in and through Evident Life Church. That we're going to be a church of that's sharing the gospel. That we're going to be a church that we know we're sharing the gospel because we're bringing testimonies of sharing the gospel. As we gather together, we're going to celebrate. We celebrate Baylor winning. We celebrate whatever it might be, right? I went on a diet. I'm celebrating. I've lost 12 pounds already. Woo! Praise God for that. We celebrate things. We're going to be a culture that's going to share testimonies of sharing Jesus with others, and we're going to celebrate with one another. I know this. When I hear Mike talking about how he just does life and shares Jesus with people that he's doing life with, it encourages me. It builds me up. It gives me boldness. It gives me vision and understanding of maybe here's how I could do that also. It spurs us on. It's iron sharpening iron. I'm believing that that's what's going to happen. And so here's what I'm asking. As your pastor, I'm asking that if you're in a life group, if you're in a men's meeting, a women's meeting, a prayer meeting, if you're in the gathering of the saints here at Evident Life Church, I want to ask that you make room in your gatherings for people to share a testimony, a story about sharing the gospel. All right? It's not boasting. We're not sharing our story to boast. We're sharing our story to encourage one another because we're on the same team. We're in this together. So I want to encourage you. Now, everybody doesn't have to come with one every week or every meeting, so you don't need to stay away from the meetings because you don't feel like you have a story or you don't want to talk, you don't want to share that. That's not the point. The point is we're going to make room to be a church that's not just sharing the gospel, but sharing with one another about sharing the gospel. And in that, it's going to be a snowball effect, and we're going to see more and more and more and more of that. When you share with people in your groups, wherever, be wise. You don't always have to use names and get into all the details. You know, just be wise with all of that. I'm excited for what God's about to do in and through Evident Life Church. I'm very excited. I'm excited for what this next season and even 2022, what it's going to mean for our community with a church that's excited about sharing Jesus. Just like this new, refreshed excitement that we've been so lulled, this whole apathy thing the Lord had us talking about earlier, this COVID season, all this junk and distraction and heaviness that's come upon all of us, everyone walking on this earth in the church. And some of us are able to, we bounce it right off of us really easy. But I'm telling you what, we are stepping into a season where we're going to be fully alive and we're going to see the move of God in amazing ways. And so buckle up. Buckle up, buttercup, somebody just said. All right, that's the word of the Lord. Buckle up, buttercup. Because God is moving in and through his church. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are moving. Thank you for the refreshing of the gospel, the new life of the gospel of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the refreshing of life in the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the refreshing that we're in this together, that we're part of the family of God. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for leading us and guiding us. Thank you for doing all this heavy lifting. And thank you, God, that we get to just follow you, live with you, in you, and for you.